Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Su Studio.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne. Be Your Mosta with Tina El Costa.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch What Crappens.
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Find out what you need to do to prepare at gov.uk/Brexit.
What crappens? Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a Real Housewives of New York parody on YouTube. And joining me, as always, is the hilarious and wonderful and super special Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
What's been going on, baby?
Well, you know what? I just got back from Denver, Colorado, where I was over the weekend, which is a great segue to talking about the fact that tomorrow we are going to be doing a pre-sale for our new Denver show, which is going to be in December. All the details, we can't say all the details right now, but tomorrow all the details will be up on our website, on our social media. We'll tell them on the show. So if you're in the Denver area, please come see us. It's going to be a super fun show, as they all are. Speaking of the shows, we have a bunch happening this fall, starting later this month, on September 26th, which is only like 2 weeks away, it feels like, 2 or 3 weeks away. We're going to Charlotte, North Carolina as part of the, what's the name of that? The Queen City, right? Yeah, the Queen City Comedy Experience. So we're going to be part of that, which is awesome. And we have a big old theater. And we've sold out a lot of the tickets, actually. But there are still like 2 rows available in the balcony. So that's going to be Charlotte on September 26th. And then the next night, we're going back to Nashville, going back to City Winery. And that's going to be amazing, too. And that has a low ticket alert. And then here are the rest of the cities. We're going to Atlanta, Georgia for 2 shows. Carrboro, North Carolina, Richmond, Virginia, Tampa, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, Indiana, same as BravoCon. So if you didn't get into BravoCon, guess what? Indianapolis. And then the next night, 2 shows in Chicago, although the first one sold out. New York City, first one sold out, but still of like 5 tickets left for the late show. And then St. Louis, 2 shows in Philadelphia, first one sold out, but tickets available for the late show. And then we will be doing our Denver show and Seattle, and then starting next year, Houston, Texas. And we have many cities coming in 2020. It's going to be amazing. So we are thrilled. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get those. And of course, check out, click around, follow us on social media, Patreon, get access to our bonus episodes. It'll be so fun. You're going to live your life and be so happy, okay?
Gonna love it, okay? Go get the bonus episodes, and also twice a week we do video recaps that you can watch on your old smart TV and what, however you'd like to watch us. You can find those at Crappens on Demand on our Patreon. Mm-hmm. So go do it.
Yeah, go do it. It's going to be great. So today, we are talking season finale of Real Housewives of Potomac. And I have to say, Ronnie, watching the previously on this season of Real Housewives of Potomac, I was just like, wow, what a season. What a season.
I know a lot happened, actually.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa. Yeah. There was a wedding. Juan pretended to love Robin and gave her like a, you know, a Olive Garden breakfast tray or whatever the fuck that thing was in bed. Breakfast in bed. I imagine it was a bunch of plastic cheesecakes.
Yes.
And La Dame, in memory of my mother, I'd like to make a scent. I was like, what? I don't know what that means.
But sure.
But I just loved these previously. They were full of cray cray.
Yeah, they were, it was like, it was a reminder of how good the season was. And it was like a little uneven in the beginning, but it really just really found its voice in such a special way.
Clankety clank, bitch.
Clankety clank. So this week, the episode opened up with Chris serving food to Candace. I guess they were probably trying to shoot a whole scene to promote his cookbook again. And Bravo was like, let's just make this up. Little part of a montage instead.
Yeah, let me guess, Chris, a breakfast quesadilla?
Yeah.
For Christ's sake. His quesadilla cookbook.
Yeah, exactly. And Candace is like talking about the Cayman Islands, and she's like, my favorite thing in the Cayman Islands was riding the horses, and I want to do that again with you, Chris. He's like, I thought we did that already. I was like, ugh.
I was like, you're gross. You're slimy. Okay. Yeah. So then we go over to Bethesda, where Giselle is getting facials with her kids. And she's like, guys, I was in my 20s when I got my first facial. And one of them's like, did it work? And she's like, hello. Have you seen this face?
This face. And then Robin's over at her flip, and she's like, I just want to get this flip sold. I'm like, okay, good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see you in season 22.
And then Ashley has some really exciting news. She's driving along with Michael, and she's like, my breasts are sore, and the other day I was masturbating, and I had really horrible cramps. I was like, great to hear about your horrible cramps while you were masturbating. Did I tell you about the time my toe ached while I was taking a dump? Okay.
Mike's like, the other day, I grabbed the butt of a cameraman, and it gave me a cramp in my hand, but it was completely consensual, so tell your friends.
The other day, I grabbed the butt of a cameraman again, and I got a legal cramp that affected various business deals and proceedings, but it's all right, because it was a misunderstanding cramp, and now we are cramp-free.
My business partner said, listen, there's a cameraman with cramped breasts, and we don't feel comfortable going forward in business until those cramped breasts are settled.
In Australia, the way we tell if someone's pregnant is we pinch their ass, and if they say, get away from me, we know they are pregnant, so I just wanted to do a little pregnancy test, but fun fact, men don't get pregnant, so I guess it was a mistake on my part, and for that, I apologize.
I know the baby's going to come out, and they're going to hold it by the ankles up to make it cry, and Michael's just going to grab its butt right away, you know? It's going to be like, wah! It's like the first baby's lawsuit when Michael spanks its butt.
Teaching it from an early age. So he's basically just like, well, let's stay positive, because maybe you are pregnant. Maybe it wasn't just a fake out. So let's be positive.
So then we see Karen in her car having a totally natural, not planned at all conversation, and I'm sure that there's a real person on the other line. She's holding her phone, and she's like, hello, car phone. Yes, it's me, Karen Hugo. You might remember me. How are you? I would like to make sure there's gold uplighting in the room.
Oh, that just sounds great. Gold uplighting for my La Dame reveal party. Oh, yes, and how about some crab legs? And have someone else cook it, because otherwise Ray will be stuck clattering those pans together for hours and hours.
It has been non-stop La Dame planning. Non-stop. I've had to make sure to get a bulletproof case to put my scent behind so no one can see if it opens.
Yes, lots had to be done. And then we get to see, of course, the Potomac deer in honor.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Like, I was like, you know, I'm so glad that they were like, we're not going to end the season without showing the deer.
A deer, and this time the deer wasn't terrified. It just followed a Karen scene that was full of bullshit. Karen talking to herself on the phone, and the deer just looks like, girl, please.
Yeah.
He just has that look on his face like, am I supposed to buy that last scene? Come on now.
Well, that deer also had like a frenzied look of like, but now I do have to find gold uplighting for her party. It's like, oh wait, Karen was talking to the deer the whole time? Hello, deer! Every time she says hello, deer, we know who she's really talking to.
She's out there trying to spray the deer. Come on, it's for deer! This is inspired by mommy. Here, have a scent!
So then we cut to Monique burping at a table, because she's 38 weeks pregnant, and she's just so pregnant, and just, she's sitting there in her interview in pain, her eyes closed, she's like, oh god, baby, why are you turning over? Why do you have to move right now? Oh god, oh god, oh god.
She's like, why god, why are you trying to move, please? And there's like a little tiny Chris in there, like, I am starving. Get me out of here.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I want a bottle.
Monique is tiny. She cannot carry a Chris baby, and she certainly can't eat enough to support a Chris baby. It's probably like one of those, you know how when people get parasites, like they'll pay on purpose to get a parasite to go on a diet, and the only way to get it out of your stomach is to hold like a piece of pepperoni near your mouth, so supposedly it smells it and comes up and out of you. Just do it, okay? Give birth already. Just put a pepperoni there. Just let it come out for dinner.
Pepperoni out of vagina and let baby Chris come clawing out. What's that I smell? A lovely pizza topping? Clearly there must be a slice attached to that.
It just comes crawling out like, feed me.
I feel like I did not see It Chapter 2 because I don't watch scary movies, but I feel like there probably was a scene where someone held pepperoni out and Pennywise the clown came climbing out of some sort of orifice.
They just held it at a sewer grate. Pennywise came out.
All he wanted was pepperoni. See, if only these stupid kids realized that, life would be much better.
So Karen comes over. Baby, how's mama? How's baby? How does your baby smell?
It's ready. It's ready. It's like I say about my La Dame fragrance. It's ready. It's ready.
I brought some La Dame. I brought a sample of La Dame and a turkey baster. Let's see how the baby likes it.
Yeah, it's called Bebe by La Dame. I hope you enjoy it. So Karen's like, well, I'm about to give birth to a 3.4 ounces of La Dame fragrance. I guess I'm pregnant also.
God, she's lucky that that's not a baby. It would come out and its head would just fall off. Because I don't think she still found a bottle top that fits on that bottle.
But you know what she did find is an apostrophe for no reason. Her scent is called La Dame. It's like La apostrophe Dom. I'm like, why do you need to have an apostrophe in there? Maybe it's just me as the former president of the John Jay High School French Club of 1997. I am like really... You know, I'm very meticulous about, you know, apostrophes in my French, but La Dame does not need an apostrophe. Karen! Drove me nuts the entire time. Why is there an apostrophe there? Why? Why?
So she's like, well, we just got back from the trip and we had a kiki, but, you know, even Giselle said she was sorry for making reference to my dead family. Knock on glass.
Yeah, Karen said that Giselle had many inappropriate comments, but, you know, we got through to her, despite all her inappropriate comments.
Karen, you see, I said this last week, Karen is so dumb, she falls for it every time Giselle pretends to apologize.
Thank God, too.
It is so funny. She really believed it.
Yeah, she's like, well, with Giselle, you know, it's gonna be years and years and years and years of therapy for Giselle to get right. Almost as many years as it takes to make La Dame.
Well, we're just testing the new Giselle out. She's currently in the rollerball form, which...
Giselle's in a discovery period with her emotional states, basically.
Yeah, let's try this Giselle rollerball on your wrist, Monique. She says your baby's lying. She says your baby sexually assaulted someone.
Now that I put this rollerball on your wrist, you smell very inappropriate. That's what I smell.
So she tells us, I still have a question mark where Michael is concerned. A big ass. Question mark. And then makes a big question mark with her hands.
Yeah. If you put Mama D and Michael together, we almost have a question. We have an S on the forehead and a question mark. Okay, so let's get a few more letters up in there.
Okay, let's go over and see Ashley and Mike at the doctor's office, where the doctor's ow, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
I'm sorry, I'm just attracted to men who look like that thing from Ice Age.
I was kidding. Let's have a beer.
So, basically, they're nervous about the pregnancy, etc. So we get to see Ashley put her feet up in the stirrups, and a probe goes in, and huzzah! It's a baby. It's a heartbeat. Fetus. Not even a fetus. Zygote. Whatever it is.
It's a little tiny baby. And he's wearing a bicycle jacket with sponsors on it. It's says Advil and I'm trying to think of a poop one. Like Metamucil. And it's doing the tiny little baby bicycle.
Bicycle. Is that little fetus grabbing the fallopian tube inappropriately?
The doctor's just like, the baby's already trying to grab things with its hands. It's so weird. It just keeps moving its hands like this.
It looks like the baby is trying to sell the other eggs on eating kangaroo.
The baby just told me it will not come out for less than $5,000 a month for at least 5 years, in which case you can renew.
Wow. That baby just went and knocked on that fallopian tube's door, and the fallopian tube just closed it in its face. That's so harsh.
That's so rude. Oh, God.
I'm just saying the fallopian tube was rude. It's not, no commentary on anything else.
So Michael's like, well, how long has she been pregnant? And, that's... I guess a normal question, but I feel like it's also a question when was the last time she saw the chef from Oz? Because part of him's got to wonder, is that chef's baby? Because I know a lot of me wonders. Until I saw the baby.
The baby's definitely imagine Michael shrunken down and his face photoshopped onto a baby body and then smoothed out with Photoshop. And then you're like, oh, so that's what a Michael baby looks like.
He has the look on his face. When Ashley said, I need a personal assistant. And he was like, oh, geez. He's got pirate eyes.
So what was I going to say? So, yeah, so they're saying, the baby is, estimated that this many weeks old. So wonder when conception was. And then we see a flashback of Ashley being after Gay Pride, Michael was we just had so much sex after Gay Pride. So basically, they went to Gay Pride. It made Michael very horny for whatever reason. Who knows why? Maybe he saw a very attractive lady there. Who knows? And then they had sex, and now they are pregnant.
Yeah, and it also turns out that Ashley's had a lot of drinks since then, according to this show. So it's kind of funny. She didn't want to drink in order to get pregnant, but then she was drinking while she was pregnant. So it's wow. I guess that all just,
You know what? There was a happy ending.
Your plans
ending.
Always get screwed.
At the end of the day, they had a lovely baby who is in People magazine. So really, they got everything that they wanted, and God bless.
Yeah, that baby was born wanting martini. That's for damn sure. And listen, baby, I'm with you. I was there. I was with you.
Yeah. So now we go over to Giselle's flip, where Giselle is there giving a tour to Robin. Showing her around the place. And Robin is just we said on a previous episode that we actually liked Giselle's flip. We saw the potential there. And I personally like the house quite a bit. And Robin's walking around and she's like, this should be demolished. I'm like, Robin, have you seen your flip? Come on.
No kidding, Robin. I'm surprised Robin didn't get mad that Giselle didn't have Robin's logo on the dumpster outside. I kept rewinding it to see what it was, and it was dumpster in a day or something like that. But I was like, oh man, Robin, you could have had your first job here.
Dumpster in a day. Yeah. Wow, I think it's so rude to talk about Robin's marriage to Juan that way. So,
it's like, well, you called for a dumpster, so I just came to have a passive aggressive fight with Juan in front of your trash.
So, Robin's like, remember when I talked about getting the tattoo with Juan? And I'm like, no. She's like, yeah. So here's a flashback, and there's like a 1 second flashback of Robin saying she wanted to get a tattoo wedding band situation, sort of like how Tamara did with what was his name again? Simon. I was like, okay, ugh. Bad omen, bad. Like, you don't want to go down this path. But Juan apparently liked the idea of getting like a matching ring finger tattoo, probably because it will only cost him about $100 total, as opposed to
the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's like, Giselle's like, well, I still want to see a ceremony. Yeah. And she's like, but we got to do things the Robin and Juan way. I'm like, Robin, grow a pair, please. Yeah. Grow a pair. Doing things the Robin and Juan way means that you're now stuck in a house with a man you're not sure even is going to be able to stay with you forever. You deserve more, Robin, okay?
You deserve more. Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Find out what you need to do to prepare at gov.uk/Brexit.
Don't forget to get your tickets to Watcher Crappens in Charlotte on September 26th at watchercrappens.com. So then Giselle's like, so have you heard from any of the girls since we got back from the Cayman Islands? And Robin goes, oh my God. Did you get a random text from Katie? Giselle's like, of course.
It says, yes, I feel better. How was the rest of your trip? Isn't that crazy?
It's like, not really. She left because she didn't feel good. And she's saying, how was the rest of your trip? Yeah. Do you need me to explain it to you in a more clear fashion? Like, well, totally, I mean, normal text.
Well, I mean, I think that they were like, it's weird that she didn't acknowledge that she just up and left without saying goodbye to anyone or letting anyone know where she went, you know, and that for Katie, it's just another day, another normal thing that happened.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing Katie just was like, oh, production will probably told them I felt sick and left, you know?
Yeah, she probably did think that. So then they start talking about the La Dame reveal party, and Giselle's like, well, the text invite was cute, which I felt like was a very low-level shade about the fact that they got, like, a text invite instead of, like, a paperless post, which, of course, is, like, paperless post is, you know, like, the gold standard with this group.
Yeah, it was one of those free ones where there's ads at the bottom.
Yeah.
The Leah Black got an invitation. We all got invited to some housewarming, and it was through Evite. Is that the one that gives you the ads? It's free. And so there were ads at the bottom, and she's like, is this guy is he registered? Am I supposed to buy him something from Amazon? Because that's insane. Like, she was so mad, and I was like, no. It's ads for free invitations. And she's like, who does that?
I had a dream last night that I worked for Jeff Lewis, by the way, speaking of Leah Black, and it was terrifying. It was a very scary dream.
Were you horrified? God. Well, it's like horrified for you.
He like left, and I was supposed to do something, and I don't think I did it, or I messed it up, and then I was like, oh my God, he's going to come back, he's going to yell at me.
If you don't want to be called stupid, stop doing stupid things.
What are they going to... Is Flipping Out, by the way, officially canceled? Or is it just...
Well, it's not officially renewed. Bravo doesn't really tell people when their shows are canceled. They tend to just be like, okay, great time. Maybe we'll talk to you soon. And then they just never tell them.
I know. Yeah, it's like, I don't think Miami was officially canceled, right? I think, like, technically we're still waiting for season 4.
No, I think on People's Couch they heard in the news that they were canceled. Real classy over there, Bravo. Hey, Bravo, let Karen teach you about the text invite, even if it's a text disinvite, you know, just like, hello, it's me, Bravo, you're no longer invited to shoot.
Yeah, basically the way Bravo does it is that everyone shows up ready for production, and then Bravo just goes to the airport in the Cayman Islands and doesn't tell anyone, and then sends a text later being like, oh, sorry, I felt sick, hope you guys have a great season that we're not paying for or putting on our network.
Yeah, they basically pulled a Katie.
Yeah. So anyway, Giselle is still pushing this idea, like, this stupid conspiracy story, that theory that I don't think anyone cares about, but it's funny because you know it's going to make Karen so mad, that basically Giselle thinks that Karen doesn't own La Dame and that some investors own it instead and that she's only the face of it. So it's kind of like, okay, cool. But knowing it's going to get Karen so mad at the reunion is all worth it.
Yeah, it really is. Did we add the part where she said, oh, that Texan invite is pretty, and then Robin goes, it's basic. It's like,
I didn't
Robin,
hear say that.
You're calling someone basic? Are you fucking kidding me? Your entire opening line is like, I may have new hair, but I still have the same old deadbeat man who won't marry me. You know, stop throwing the word basic around over there, base.
I'm like, Robin, we've spent a lot of time at your flip, and we're on Bravo, okay? This flip is not even worth HGTV time, okay?
Yeah, whatever IKEA countertops.
Yeah. So now we go, the great scene coming up here, because we go over to Candace on her computer. She's making a spreadsheet for her budget because they, you know, she and Chris want to take over the mortgage by January 1st. So she's pretending to make a spreadsheet, even though she probably just downloaded one from the internet and is like, look, numbers in grids, you know?
Yeah, she's like, I have to come up with a budget because I am going to cut this cord. I was like, really? Have you come up with a budget to pay her back for the down payment yet? Because that would be cutting the cord.
So Candace FaceTimes Dorothy, which is always funny because Dorothy's always like, I feel like Candace intentionally tries to FaceTime Dorothy when Dorothy's not expecting it, so Dorothy doesn't have time to like do her whole makeup and everything, because when Dorothy's expecting it, she's glammed up and then she has that crazy pageant smile on, you know, like, I'm a very happy mother who loves my daughter. But then when she's not expecting it, she's sort of like low angled and like hair is just sort of like boring and she's just at work.
Yeah.
And fussy.
Yeah, they show her working, which I really liked because it was a nice juxtaposition from Candace just sitting around in the kitchen she paid for, you know?
Yeah.
So mom's like, hi, Candace! She has that really high voice, and Candace is like, well, I thought that, taking over this mortgage might be good for us. So, thoughts? Yeah. And the mom seems like she's going to be mad, but she's like, that's great, Candace. That place will be your place. I'm proud of you, honey.
She goes, it's going to look so beautiful with the maintenance and everything. Basically saying, you're going to have to pay for that maintenance if you want it to look nice. I'm not paying for that maintenance. So then she's like, yeah, I'm happy for you, honey. I'm okay. I mean, you'll be fine. I've told you everything, how to do it, and you see my life. I've been working for 40 years. I just love it. It's like, wait, what? That had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, she's saying, I'm so proud of you. Look at you. You can be successful like me, who's worked for 40 years, you know?
Yeah.
And she says, I feel like sometimes you see it as a competition, Candace. Candace is like, no, I do not compete with you, a 50-something-year-old woman. I'm like, okay, so now you're going to age-shame your own mother.
Yeah, and the mom is just like, okay, keep calm, you're on TV, we're not going to let her win this one, I'm just going to smile, we'll have fun with that money pit. You may not realize it's a money pit only because you haven't been paying the bills, but I have been, so have fun, there's maintenance.
And you can tell the mom is totally, I was going to say furled, what am I trying to say? She's totally annoyed because she's just... She's moving her office chair side to side. I'm like, by the end of it, she's just going to be spinning around in full circles.
Yeah. You know that she's going to be, like, hiring some people to, like, throw Molotov cocktails into that house. Like, well, I guess you'll need some money to pay for the damages.
And then she tells Chris, like, it's, like, she just gave her mother the worst news. And she's so proud of herself. She's like, I just told my mother that we're paying the mortgage, and she took it well. I'm like, Why wouldn't she take it well? She's not going to have to pay for you anymore. What is going on in your head?
Candace wants a pat on the back, a literal pat on the back for controlling her emotions. I'm like, did you control your emotions? You age-shamed your mother in the middle of all this while you were telling her that she's no longer needed in life. So, yeah.
Yeah. Candace keeping it classy.
Yeah, so now we go over to the La Dame photo shoot, where Karen is there with Matt the assistant. Matt the assistant is back. He, by the way, Matt has been, you know, God bless the hangers-on, the Bravo hangers-on. You got Matt, you got John Blizzard. I think there's someone else. I forget who. But, you know, Matt was just in, like, in photos with Dorinda up in the Berkshires this weekend. So he, you know, he gets around. He's attaching to any housewife that he can.
Yeah. Thirst.
Yeah.
So Karen's like, oh, are these the accessory options?
I'm in full print phase for this photo shoot. Security, security. I think we may need some fire hoses because I'm looking hot.
And Matt's back there getting started on the cucumber sandwiches from Subway or whatever they ordered. He,
she would, like, get the cucumber sandwiches.
She would. And she's like, well, that, he's like, that'll photograph well. She's like, nailed it. Nailed it.
Damn, I'm beautiful.
La Dame has been in the works for 1 year and 4 months. And then we get clips of her bullshitting. Well, it's in the discovery phase. Well, it's been discovered, and now it's in the mining phase. Well, now it's in the chip phase, where we try to see how it smells next to sour cream chips.
Now it's in the pots and pans phase, where we put it into a pot and a pan and let Ray clatter it around and see what happens.
Now it's in the microwave phase, because Roy just keeps thinking it's a can of cheese, which he shouldn't be putting in the microwave anyway. So, we're looking for a new microwave, by the way, if anyone out there is listening.
Oh, now I've just spritzed it in the Laserdisc player, and we're going to see what sort of videos come on. Oh, look, it's an old episode of Perfect Strangers. Oh, wait, that was just the disc that was already in there.
I love the idea of her and Ray sitting around watching Perfect Strangers.
Standing tall on the wings of a lot. Ray, Ray, let's do the Dance of Joy, Ray.
Well, they're quite different from each other, but they still get along. Ha, 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 ha.
Ladies, I'm sorry I can't attend your event. Ray and I are going on a trip to Meepos.
So, you know,
by the way, when I was a kid, I asked my parents if we could go to Meepos. They're like, what is that? I'm like, it's an island. You don't know about Meepos? They're like, it's not real.
Sorry, Ben, not real. Can we go to Nanu Nanu?
Orc, if you will.
Yeah. Okay, so Chatter then we James. Go to Robin at the family tattoo parlor.
Yeah.
Why did I write? Oh, Robin's family goes to the tattoo
parlor.
I like
the idea of a family tattoo parlor. The family that gets tatted together gets tatted together.
Families that tat together splat together. We're all going to die together.
Yeah, so Robin and Juan are going to get their tattoos, and they brought their boys along to watch. And so, you know, Robin gets up there. She gets her little tattoo. So it's basically like it's two hearts that are overlapping like a Venn diagram, but in heart form. And it's like on the very inside of the ring finger. So basically no one can see it. So, of course, Juan is fine with this because he's like, great, because I can put a tiny little tattoo someplace where no one can see it very easily, and it gets
while
her
I'm
off my back.
While I'm cheating on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because she explains it. She goes, I was trying to find tattoos that would speak to Dad and I's relationship. I was like, yeah, the one that he can fucking hide. This is the saddest shit I've ever seen. You're even making me sad in the tattoo scene where he's getting a tattoo on his ring finger, Robin, okay? That's something.
So she gets her tattoo first, and she's like, yeah, it's fine. And then Juan gets on there, and he gets all nervous and starts, like, complaining like a little boy. He's like, oh, it hurts, which was sort of funny.
I guess. They're like, oh, the man can't take the pain. I was like, you're a pig. Marry the woman you had children with, and stop acting like you're doing her a favor, okay?
Yeah, so then they FaceTime Giselle to show her the tattoos, and Giselle is, like, clearly not enthused. She's like, oh, let me see. Oh, congratulations.
What does that say, ya? Yeah? And she's like, it's too hard. She goes, oh, wow.
Robin,
I love it.
Yeah. Bring it a little closer. I can't see the diamond on that ring. Oh, it's a tattoo. Okay.
It's like, yes, the tattoo is on the ring finger. However, it's on the inside, so you can't really see it unless you know it's there. If you are really committed to Robin, put a ring on it.
The first draft of the Beyonce song. If you're really committed to Robin, put a ring on it. Like, doesn't quite flow off the tongue.
Yeah, Jay-Z was like, I don't know anybody named Robin that people really like. Just stick with put a ring on it. She's like, yeah. Okay, thanks, Jay.
So now we go over to Ashley and Michael, and they're going to be doing some yoga situation. And Michael's like, I want to be it before yoga. I'm like, great. Thanks for including this. Bravo. So the plan is that Ashley wants to reveal to her mom that she's pregnant, and she wants to stick all these letters onto her stomach with, like, stickers that say, I am pregnant. And they, like, stick it on her stomach, and then she's in a sweatshirt covering it. And the plan is, in the middle of at the end of the yoga or whatever, Ashley is going to, like, lift up her sweatshirt and reveal that it says, I am pregnant.
And Michael's like, well, I want it to say, I am preggers, because that's what we say in Australia. I'm like, guess where we also say that? Here in America. Welcome. Did you just get here yesterday?
I wish I had known that, but my slang coach quit after I groped his ass. So,
in other words, passed him in the hallway. So they put these letters on, and there's a knock at the door, and Michael hides his beer, which I thought was funny, because he always acts like, yeah, I'm going to stick up to your mother, and he's hiding the beer so she doesn't know. Yeah. But that's even more disturbing, because you know she smells the beer on its breath. So
yeah.
I don't know what's better. But anyway.
Also, who does a beer right before yoga?
Michael. And I love that he's embarrassed about sexually harassing people, but he's totally fine being on camera drinking first thing in the morning. I'm like, what business partners do you have exactly?
Well, maybe his business partner is Corona. After all, he is Australian. He should be drinking Foster's.
Yeah. The Corona's like, please don't do that. He's like, sorry, Corona. I was just dragging you to suck you down my throat. Meant no offense.
Hugh here wants to grab a Corona for me, and by Corona, I mean the cameraman's ass. He looks like he wants it. So they do this yoga thing, and then Ashley, it's like time for Ashley's big reveal, and she, like, lifts up her sweatshirt, and all the letters have fallen off, unshockingly, by the way, because she's sweating, and it's, like, covered up with sweatshirt. So it's all the letters fell off, and her mom, her mom's, like, in corpse pose, so her mom can't see what's happening. And so she's like, what do I do? So she goes into the bathroom, and she's like, I'm going to pee on a stick instead, so that's how I'm going to reveal it. And so she comes out, and she's talking with her mom, and she's like, wow, that was a great session, and I want to give you a little gift. I'm like, you're a stick that has all your urine on it. I was like, it's like, you just peed on a little gift. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, thanks. But then they had the sonogram picture anyway. Why couldn't they just show her that?
Yeah, like, why don't they be like, look, you get a special certificate for completing yoga, and oh, look, it's a sonogram.
I like when she goes, okay, I'm now's the part where we relax. It just lay down. And then she walks off, and her mom goes, and breathe, right? She goes, yeah, and breathe. Like, what, are you going to just lay there and hold your damn breath? Her mom's dead by the time Ashley comes back out.
Yeah, she was like, I think I'm going to fall asleep. Just hold tight, Mom. I'm just going to pee on something that you can hold in your hands.
Yeah, so then they show her the picture, and the mom's like, why is there an indention? She's like, Michael's trying to grab its butt through the stomach. So she's like, oh, my God, you guys did it. I've been waiting. And then Michael goes, now you can enjoy having a child without doing all the work. That's the best part. I'm like, shut up, Michael. Go get the rest of your beer. Be quiet.
Yeah. So now we go over to, it's time to start setting up for Karen's party. And so Karen arrives at the venue, and Matt is there again. And he's wearing this hideous blue turtleneck sweater. It's like this blue, it's like a Cookie Monster blue. It was really a shocking sartorial turn on this show.
And he's one of the only people on this show who eats. Like, when they show them passing trays, he's like, yes, what do you think I came here to show off this turtleneck?
Pass over the cucumber.
C is for hors d'oeuvres. They're good enough for me. Matt, no. Even I know that's not correct French.
So Candace's mom is helping her with the straps on the back of her dress to go. And she goes, Mom, I'll just do it myself. And the mom's like, well, I don't know why you're acting like a little bitch today, but whatever, Candace. And then Candace turns right to the camera and she goes, you got that, right? You got that?
It's like, yes, he did get it, but we're still not on your side.
Yeah, your, like, mom was trying to help you strap up your dress, and then you acted like a dick, Candace.
I was like, even if I did understand Candace's side, which is that Dorothy is overbearing and just, like, trying to control Candace at all times, I don't care, because it was still funny that Dorothy said it. And I don't disagree.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a gay thing or not, but my first go-to is always Team Dorothy.
Listen, I'll tell you what's a gay thing. An overbearing older woman. We're always going to take their side.
We're always going to be friends with Dorothy, okay? So just take it, Candace. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm still supporting Faye Dunaway in that play that she got fired from.
I know. And even when they added to it and they're like, oh, she got in trouble because she kept calling her personal assistant the little gay man. And I'm like, well, you know, that could be worse.
He probably
deserved
it.
Actually Faye Dunaway making an effort.
Yeah. You know what? Like, when she threw that salad down on the floor and said, the salad deserves to be on the floor and not in my hands. You know what? She has standards. Are we going to chastise her for that? I don't think so.
Maybe the floor wanted a healthy meal. I mean, come on.
Yeah, maybe. So then people start showing up. Like, Monique shows up, and Candace and Dorothy arrive at the party. And then all of a sudden, Katie walks in. Her wig game is back on point. She looked great. She looked totally, you know, like, sharp and with it. So it was a very, very nice moment for Katie, I thought.
Yeah, she looked gorgeous.
Redemption moment.
And Karen's like, given Katie's abrupt departure from the islands, I'm shocked and happy to see her here and looking good.
But then
Katie's like, I didn't put on deodorant or take a shower today. I hope that's okay.
Don't worry, we have La Dame scent to cover it up. So if you ever wanted your armpits to smell like fax toner, here you go.
Just keep your arms down the way that Juan keeps his finger closed all the time now for no reason.
So Ashley and Katie have a polite hug, and then Giselle and Robin are in a car on the way, and they're speculating whether or not Karen's actually going to have any perfume there. She goes, Giselle's like, I don't think she would embarrass herself and waste all of our time. So she's like clearly trying to set Karen up for failure, you know?
Like, yeah.
Like pretending to be the good guy, like anticipating that Karen is just going to mess up and be like, well, she embarrass herself and waste her time after all. La.
And Ashley's saying that she doesn't want to take Karen's night by giving her news. So instead, she just walks around going, I am so thirsty. I just need water. Just water. I'm thirsty. Just water. Water.
I'm also a little hungry. Does anyone have any bread or maybe a bun? Or are the buns still in the oven? The buns are in the oven, right? Huh?
I'm so hungry, I could pop. So she's telling us, well, I'm not telling the girls I'm pregnant because they haven't supported my process.
Oh,
and then we get a montage of everybody talking about Michael. And Giselle going, so are you okay with butt squeezing?
I hate this whole idea of, like, people were not, like, supportive of my process. It's like, you know what? You are so vain to think that anyone cares about your process and cares about learning that you're pregnant, you know? Well, maybe that's just a me thing. I just realized, like, a lot of people really like hearing that someone's pregnant. But I, you know, I'm like, okay, cool, fine.
Well, it's not supporting your process. It's not supporting your husband assaulting people.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
I just think it assigns so much importance, like, that what you're about to, like your declaration of your pregnancy is on par with maybe finding the cure for cancer. Like, well, I have the cure for cancer, but I don't think they deserve it. You know, it's like, I think I'm
like
talking
you're
myself
doing
into
a favor.
Corner.
Because it's one of those things. It's like when people are like, oh, well, they're lucky if they're invited to my wedding. It's like, oh, God. Yeah,
like,
I'm lucky
to
spend
to
hundreds
wedding.
Of dollars on you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know. But then again, there are other people that are like, wow, I can't believe she didn't tell me she was pregnant. I'm like, well, just look at her stomach, okay?
Yeah.
I'm like all so, mad. I'm mad Robin, at nothing right now, by the way. Just for the record, for the audience, I have made myself mad for no reason right now. Really based on nothing.
You're mad at the hypothetical baby I'm pregnant with.
I know, exactly. I'm mad at Ronnie for hypothetically not telling me that he's pregnant.
So Giselle and Robin arrive, and Giselle's like, congrats-a. Did I say it? Congrats-a. I want that markdown that I said to Karen. Congrats-a.
Yeah, and Karen has a bottle of La Dame fragrance under a bell jar, which is hilarious. It's like Beauty and the Beast or something happening over there.
Like, yeah, it was. And you know that thing was on lockdown. I really think that's like bulletproof glass, so Giselle can't get in there and see if it works.
I was waiting for Catherine Zeta-Jones to come through, like, navigating various lasers to get to it.
Yeah. She's like got sticky hands that she's like crawling all over it with.
But why was there a need to put a bell jar over? It's already a jar. You don't need to jar the jar.
For the reveal, the reveal.
But it's a clear, but it's also a clear glass thing, so you're not revealing anything, which is why I guess Katie was like, oh, it's like a pre-reveal, like a pre-ejaculation. And Karen goes, I love you, Katie. I love that you just compared my La Dame fragrance based on my dearly departed mother to semen that has leaked out of someone's penis before they are ready to shoot their load.
And they see Katie, and Katie's like, hi. And so Robin's like, well, it's clear that she's oblivious to just disappearing. I know one person I'm not inviting on a trip again.
Robin, let's stop pretending that you paid for this trip, okay? You're a woman figuring out how to get a cheaper dump truck for a fucking demo job, okay?
Yeah.
No one believes that you paid for a trip to the Cayman Islands, so just stop.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Katie will be really sad when she doesn't get invited on your big trip to the Poconos next season.
Yeah, to get fucking shat on by every single one of you.
Yeah. So Giselle, of course, when she sees the bottle in the bell jar, she like immediately wants to go for it. So she's trying to take the jar off because she is that person. And Karen blesses us with a security, security, security.
I loved when she did that.
Yeah.
And Giselle's like, is it real? The only bottle? You know she doesn't own that either. We have to call investigators. Look, y'all, it's a museum.
Yeah, you can just. You're only allowed to look at it. It's a museum.
So let's see. Moni eats food. Robin hugs Ashley and talks.
No, it wasn't.
Wait,
it wasn't
what was
just,
it?
It wasn't just that Monique was eating food. It was that Monique was eating food, and Dorothy's like, "Honey, can I get you any food?" And Monique's like, oh, I'm good. And she's like, and Candace, do you want me to get you anything? Oh, okay, I see. You're just going to eat mine. Okay, Candy. Okay, just eat mine. Just leeching off me. You know that food is not mortgage payments, right?
Mm. Ashley's going to go sell that shit for mortgage payments later.
Yeah.
Candace, yeah. She's like putting it on Craigslist. Like,
mother's
up for
food.
Grabs. Yeah. My mother's food, $9,000.
She has no concept of what anything costs.
So then the MC gets on the mic and welcomes everyone, and a bunch of sort of like semi-naked painted girls walk in, and they actually have the La Dame fragrance, and this is such a big deal that the producers do like a weird slow-mo fade, like multi-fade to black moment with a lot of boom, boom, boom sound effects, and I thought, like, is someone going to get shot right now?
Someone check on Ray. Shocking, yeah, it was this big shocking scene. Like, is it real? Is it real? And then their gold ladies are all painted in gold. And Dorothy goes, that is so high tech.
What was she talking about?
Because they're painted gold. Oh. I don't know how that was high tech, but I thought it was funny. She's like, look, it's robots.
I've seen it in the movies so many times, and finally, now.
Which one is friends with Haley Joel Osment?
I'm sure all these robots can pay for their own mortgages without their mother.
Yeah, terror movie shots I wrote down. Yeah. So then Giselle gets some. So now they're all smelling it on themselves. And Karen's like, fan it! Fan it! Fan it!
So everyone's like, oh, I like it. I actually like it. Yeah. And then it cuts to Giselle saying, in my mind, I'm about a good 32, 35, tops 36 years old. But after I got sprayed down, I'm about 73, 74. I became a grandma.
And Ashley says, my mom will love it. And Karen goes, it's a scent that doesn't stun you when you open the door. It will follow you. I'm like, basically, you're describing this as a fart.
Yeah.
The second you hand it to people, you say you have to fan it first, like a fart. And then the second thing is it follows you, like a fart. You need to really talk to Matt about marketing, okay?
I know. And I love that she also has her marketing bullet points because she goes, the La Dame scent is a signature scent for all women. Like, it's a signature scent of what? Isn't signature like the generic brand for like Costco? Oh, that's Kirkland. Signature is like AMP's.
Kirkland Signature, yeah. I think she's thinking of like some Costco fucking Ziploc bags that she got and just liked it. Like,
Signature!
La Kirkland.
La Kirkland. So Giselle goes, it smells good. I wear it on Thursdays. Thursdays are my old lady day.
But to Karen, she goes, oh, Karen, you know I love you. I love you. I'm proud of you. And Karen's like, you know, I accept it. We're frenemies. Kisses.
Karen, because this is such a big night for you, I've decided to defer my argument with you about the fact that this is not really your perfume. It belongs to investors, and we will table that for next season. Nah.
So cut over to Ashley going, I am so thirsty. I wish there was only water and not Corona to drink.
I am so parched. So parched. Wow, and I'm hungry. Don't you kind of wish there was a stork coming along that we could eat? We could eat a stork?
Does anyone have any formula? I mean water.
I was just listening to my favorite song of the 90s. Baby, baby. I forget the rest of the lyrics, but I'll just keep saying baby, baby over and over again.
Baby mine, don't you cry. I need some water, please.
So, Robin's like, I've never seen her at a social function without a Corona in her hand.
Yeah.
So Robin is like, are you pregnant? And she's like,
no, it is just an overall detoxification.
Yeah.
I'm just detoxifying today because I wanted to, I'm pregnant. No, shit.
So then Giselle, shady-ass Giselle, of course, is like, she pregnant.
Yeah.
She's like, that prenup is almost up. Ah, what has it been? 5 years? Ah, slid that right in there. Now she can do whatever she wants to, okay? She got her baby.
Yeah, exactly. So then Karen starts making a speech, and one thing that we did not acknowledge is that Karen is wearing a crazy lacy jumpsuit, and I am 100% sure that has to be another creation from that guy. Was his name Padram? The guy does Nini, who did?
Oh, I bet you're right, because it's like that doily stuff with the skin toned
that hideous
underneath.
Doily jumpsuit shit that like apparently Real Housewives love, mainly because it's probably free.
Yes, they love free shit. It's like Matt and a cucumber sandwich.
I love the cucumber sandwich narrative we're building around him.
Because you just know that Karen, that's her fancy idea. She's like, that's what fancy people do, cucumber sandwiches. Call Subway and tell them, just cucumber.
That's also be the name of my next fragrance, just cucumber, an apostrophe between the just and the cucumber.
I want a sandwich that when you get it right in front of you, you just have to wave it for a while, and then I want it to follow you as you walk.
So Karen is like, well, as all of you know, my mother passed, and I want to make this scent in honor of her, so therefore you are not allowed to make fun of it, because I just told that story. So let me get on with the business of doing business. I thought of that last night, isn't it? Thoughtful. Business of doing business. Get it, everyone? It's a play on words. No.
I just want to remind you that I based this scent on a 97-year-old woman. Okay, now, I'd also like to thank my friends, and especially Giselle. Giselle, who asked me questions that kept me on track. I'm like, all it took was one fake apology from Giselle, and now you're publicly announcing her as your best friend again? Come on!
I know. And I'm happy to announce that in spring 2019, I will be popping up in a national retail store. So stay tuned, you can buy it there. I can't say what it is yet, but it rhymes with Shut Smart.
It rhymes with Mala Me. Like Dollar Tree? And Giselle,
it rhymes with Cradio Shack.
It rhymes with Witch Witch. Actually, that is the store, but never mind. Congratulations to Witch Witch, and we will be getting cucumber sandwiches from you next time.
We tried to broker a deal with Quiznos, but it turns out that when the Dom fragrance is sent through a toaster, it does not quite smell the same.
Should have known after Ray's microwave incident, but live you learn.
Anyway, look for us at Burlington Goat Factory.
We're not just goats, and they're not kidding, eh? Mm.
So we'll be seeing you at Soup Plantation.
So everyone claps, and Giselle's like, which one? Which store? Are we ever going to find out the store? Did she say the store? Anybody hear the name of the store? And Robin goes, I guess everyone. So Giselle's like, well, none of my questions were answered here tonight. Does she own her business? So she goes over to Karen.
Sorry, I was sipping I was sipping coffee, and I thought that you were going to like follow up with another question. So apologies for the dead air, but it's very Karen.
It follows you, dead air.
Dead air. That's actually what I'm calling my next fragrance, dead air. It's for podcasters. So yeah, so now we start going into like the end of season like wrap up, like the little boxes when they put women in the box and they give an update. So Karen's is the La Dame fragrance made its pop up debut in Bloomingdale's. With business booming, the Grande Dame has moved back to her old Potomac zip code, but none of the women have invited her over for pizza. So she got into Bloomies. I mean, she probably got into one Bloomingdale's. Like she probably had like a little table in the corner at like the Potomac Bloomingdale's for like a week.
Yeah, she was by the Costco chicken samples.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder if she's still in there because yeah, it makes it sound like, well, she had a pop up. The end.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be much more to hear about the La Dame fragrance next year.
So, well, yesterday she posted on Instagram. She's like, well, there's been a mistake on the website. Huh? We got so much traffic, it crashed. So stay tuned.
This is going to be appearing on a very major website coming up next. It's going to be firefest.com featuring La Dame.
Posted on the fanciest store online, Instagram.
So now it's like 1 month later. And Monique gave birth to her baby boy named Chase, which is exciting.
Yeah. And Giselle's like, she could only own 0.5%. I don't care. I'm proud of her. At least she did something.
Oh, about Karen.
Yeah. And then let's see. The kids are already hounding Monique. They're like, the baby's ready to eat. She's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, and she tells her kids, she's like, God, your nails are disgusting. I was gone 2 days and you've got snotty noses and dirty nails.
I'm looking forward to non-pregnant Monique coming back next season because, you know, when she's not pregnant, she can really be a firebrand. Although she was, I did find her to be quite enjoyable pregnant, but I just feel like watching her get real crazy will be even more fun next season.
Hopefully. Yeah, when she can actually chase somebody down instead of just throwing a beer bottle or whatever. Yeah.
So Monique and Chris get sort of a weird update. It goes, Monique and Chris are now a party of five since their son Chase was born. Monique and Chris also got a parrot, and like a true Samuels, he's always talking. I'm like, the parrot? The parrot got like equal billing as the new baby?
Yeah, that parrot really won this one. That parrot, like, that parrot won the season for sure.
Like, if we better be seeing a lot of that parrot next season, okay? Because now I'm intrigued. I want to know what a Samuel's parrot is going to be like.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Quack. Quack. I want another baby. Ha, ha, ha. Quack. I want another baby. Ha, ha, ha.
So Candace wrote a check for her mortgage, and then
wow, good for her.
So but things between her and her mother have taken a turn for the worse. She won't even answer her mom's calls anymore.
Yeah, they communicate through Chris, who I'm sure loves that.
Yeah, which means the mom comes in for a free duck quesadilla, and that's it.
Now, why is Candace refusing her mom's calls?
Oh, God, because Candace paid 1 month of her mortgage, and now she feels like she doesn't have to put up with her mother anymore. You idiot.
It's so obnoxious. And now, a month later from that, we go to Robin wearing a turban, which is really a bold twist at the end of the season. She's wearing a turban with her mom. And
Gloria Swanson.
Yeah, not Gloria fucking Swanson.
Gloria. Yeah, so she sold her flip for a 36K profit. It's hard for me to believe, I'm not going to lie. Because that was a long, long flip.
What? I can't... what's harder to believe? That they had a $36,000 profit or that they sold their flip?
Not to Robin's dad. $36,000 profit.
Yeah. So she and Juan are still moving in a positive direction. Looks like the tattoos will be replaced by rings very soon. Maybe in a retail store in 2019.
Yeah, yeah. That ring on will be on her finger the second that La Dame gets into Barney's. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So now 2 months later, Giselle is moving into her new house, her flip. She's which is exciting. It's moving along much faster than Robin's. And Giselle is $30,000 over budget on her house renovation. She's also remodeling her love life with a very unexpected old flame. Even Dr. Ken approves of this selection. Do we know who this is? Is this her ex-husband? Really?
Yeah. Supposedly, it's her ex-husband, the preacher. I cannot believe her.
Wow.
That's what I've read on El Internet. Don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I heard, that it's her ex-husband.
Giselle also made some waves this week because apparently she sat in the front row of the new Dave Chappelle special on Netflix. So there's
With her ex-husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So who knows, Giselle, but yikes. Okay. But then again, you know, you're married to a pig and then you go dating again and then you realize, oh, they're all pigs. Okay. I'll just go back to the pig I know, you know?
Yeah. I'm just glad it's not Sherman again.
Oh, God. Me too. I hope it's not Sherman. Let's see who Giselle's dating. Should we look just so we can give people accurate information?
I suppose. I mean, it has low level of interest on my part, but I think it's important.
Boyfriend.
Oh, my God. I just looked it up. She's dating Mackenzie Childs. That's crazy.
Giselle Bryant responds to rumors she's getting back together with her ex-husband, Jamal. Let's see what she says. She says, she promptly shut down the speculation during Watch What Happens Live. We're very close. We have a great relationship. We're great. But we're just great friends. We're not officially back together or anything like that. So who knows? Okay.
So then who is this love life situation about? What are they talking about? What are you talking about, Bravo?
I don't know. That's how they get you to click.
Wow. I guess we'll find out. And then finally we see Ashley at a baby shower about a month later, and we hear Ashley and Michael recently gave birth to a son, Dean Michael Darby, which that sounds like a generic character actor. Oh, and Dean Michael Darby. Oh, I love his work, but I can never remember what he looks like.
I know, but I loved him in Dexter. It was hard for me to get used to him being the gay guy in 6 Feet Under, but you know, it worked.
Yeah, you know, I never really thought his career would get much traction after he kept grabbing everyone's asses, but it turns out people found it charming in the future.
He ended up doing really well after Sunset Beach.
Yeah. I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm like oddly invested in the TV career of Dean Michael Darby.
Dean Michael Darby, coming soon to a theater near you.
So their restaurant Oz closed its doors, and the only shift Ashley is working is the night shift, because baby Dean has her up every hour.
And I'm having sex with Michael.
So much sex. And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yeah, the reunion is going to start up next week, and it looks absolutely amazing. So we'll be covering that, of course. And go to watchcrappins.com to get tickets to all our live shows. We'll have more details about Denver tomorrow. And guess what? It's not just Denver tomorrow. We're also announcing another city, too. Huh.
Twist.
Yes. And our videos this week will be Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Real Housewives of Dallas, which should be pretty fun. So join us on Crappins On Demand for those. And we'll talk to you next time, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Brexit will bring changes that affect businesses in many ways, particularly if you buy from EU suppliers, sell to EU customers, provide services to EU clients, and receive customer data from other businesses in the EU. Businesses need to prepare. Find out how at gov.uk/Brexit. Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October.